This is a Flip Mode Squad Jim Carrey collabo. Now, what?
Hallelujah, kids, hear this. Come on, while I lace it and try to prepare this for y'all. Oh, well, I got a story to tell about a dude I met once miserable as hell and how grouchy he was.
Dan Duncan is full-on holiday spirit.
Merry Grinchmas.
This dude is digging in the crates for the holiday festivities that are upon us within a few weeks, man.
Give me that mistletoe, baby.
He never ceases to amaze me. Have no idea who Beanie Siegel is, no idea who Bootsy Collins is, but I tell you, when it comes to the Christmas classics, he's got the repertoire.
Anything Busta Rhymes, I'd probably have a deep cut.
I'm not mad at that, man. I made some memories to Disaster Strikes. Is that Disaster Strikes? Whatever the album was, man. So, good morning, good afternoon, good day to you. I'm John Parker.
And I'm Dan Duncan.
This is Don't Do That, Bro. The man to the left of me is raspy, sexy voice today.
Hey.
Due to a festive holiday, or excuse me, weekend. It wasn't a holiday. Maybe it was a holiday for you.
For me. Yeah. I treat it as such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
We are SEC champions.
You are correct, sir.
I woke up on Sunday and I was like, this is what this feels like.
Hey, man, this is, I would usually have some shade for you or some hate, but I'll let you have this, you know what I'm saying? Because as far as I'm concerned, it'll be Dub Nation for the next 5 years. So if you're okay with me putting banners on my wall and talking about the Warriors every June and July,
banner it up.
All right, it's good, man. It's good. Are you gonna name your next son
Chubby
or I don't know anybody? It's a list. It's the
Swift.
List. It's Swift. You know what I'm saying? It just goes on. Sony, Michelle. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe Strom or you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of options.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll ever go that far in my fanship.
Yeah. Okay.
But I lost my voice screaming at a TV, so there's no telling.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, listen, man.
I, in fact, wasn't in the stadium losing my voice. I was at a house party.
Was it day drunk happening?
Day tipsy.
Day tipsy. All right.
I tried to walk that line. Yeah. It was my wife's boss's house.
Oh,
so
yeah. No.
It was. No. Everyone else was also trying to walk that line, so I didn't feel too scared.
All right. Well, you know, I wasn't familiar with, one, the depths of college football till I moved to the South, and I wasn't familiar with day drunk until I met a white friend of mine from some country town here in Georgia, and day drunk was the Saturday tradition in his
day drunk. So here's the deal about getting day drunk.
Okay.
It's way overrated.
Okay. All right. Cool. I can respect that.
You need, like, the people who are successful at this game that is SEC college football is you need to be able to enjoy thyself to the point where you're like, I'm feeling good.
Okay. All right.
And if you can keep that for the next 12 hours,
got it.
You are a winner.
Got it. Okay.
The people who look like they might be winning but are really losing are the dudes that let that get carried away and go over the edge. Because then you're just going to, at some point in time, crash, need to nap that off, and most likely miss the game in the process.
Got it. So I that's what it sounded like to me when he was explaining. I was like, day drunk sounds like you're going to miss the game.
Yes. 100% chance.
You had good intentions. It started off sounding like a great idea, but come kickoff, you're in a slumber. So, I get it. I understand.
Exactly.
It's a matter of maintaining good feelings.
That's right. You want to find that sweet spot and then keep it in that sweet spot.
Keep it in that sweet spot. Just ride that wave.
Yep, got to.
Ah.
How good are you at riding the wave?
That's it, man. That's what this is all about. Don't Do That, Bro. It's a podcast dedicated to helping dudes ride that wave.
God, maybe that's our new tagline.
That might be the new tagline.
Dang, that's good.
Yeah, man. Huh.
I'm going to caddy us into using that tagline.
That's it. Surf's up, baby. Ride that wave, man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Cali vibes, man. I like that. So if it's your first time listening, John Parker, Dan Duncan, we are just two guys that are adamantly concerned with keeping dudes from having to take the Tiger Woods route in life.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Where everyone's got to root for you just to tee off.
Just to tee off.
Like,
Can you just tee off?
Our bar has gotten pretty low for a lot of our heroes.
It has, man.
And we are here to raise the bar once again.
That's it, man. We want to get you back on track. We want to make sure that your life is, you're available, you're able to avoid the pitfalls. You know, you can see things coming from afar off. You can say, hey, let me throw this grass in the air and let the wind.
That's right. Dictate. That's a 2-club wind.
Yep, that's it.
We about to, club up about 2 irons, yeah, man. Going from 9 to 7.
See, there you go.
Just don't hit it in the water.
That's it, man. So if we're gonna ride waves, we're gonna have to come up with more surf analogies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of them will probably be sexual. That's just the way things work. We got our
water.
We're explicit now. You know what I'm saying? So
that was like John's greatest moment in this podcast is when he found out we are in fact explicit.
Getting married, debatable. Having my first child, debatable. But getting an E, getting that explicit mark on a podcast, bro, without even just being vulgar mouth, it's just the content of my wittiness. You know what I'm saying? That's a win, bro. It's one thing to just be potty mouth, right? And you, oh gosh, these guys. But to just be like, yo, I made a nasty joke and you had to think about it, and now your kid is ruined for the next 3 weeks.
Us and Howard Stern apparently have something in common. Dang.
Hey man, I don't know if he outwits us though. You know what I'm saying? He's just straightforward. We make you think about it. So good. So while we riding waves and teaching y'all how to ride them and maintain, staying on that surfboard, as Beyonce would say, we got something for you. Where are they at? Where they need to find us? How do they stay engaged, sir?
Yeah, man. So you can find us on fortdistrict.com. Of course, that's going to probably be the fastest way when you hear about Don't Do That, Bro, a new episode will pop up there first. And then, you know, we get out to the podcast apps, the TuneIn Radio, the Apple Podcast, the Stitchers of the world.
Yeah, man. And we're soliciting solicitors. Right? Is that right? Solicitors, is that people that want to come and tell you about stuff and put brochures on your door and say, hey, come spend some money somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, we are in the advertising game, if that's what you're asking about.
Yes, I am. So listen, if you're a company, you know, a startup, a well-established business, and you think that this audience fit, it does fit. There's no thinking to it. This audience is what you need to have coming beating down your doors or pushing click and enter or return on their keyboards if you're a cyber shop. Like, please send us your suggestions if you have some companies that you think of, or if you're listening, if you have a company, come holler at us. We'll make things work for you.
We pimping ourselves now, apparently.
Hey, man, hey, this is what this life's about, man. This is what it's about. We want to help these people grow, right?
I don't disagree.
We want to help y'all expand, right? And the best way to do that is this show. Like, yeah. That's like hands down.
We do have a quickly growing listenership.
Yeah. This exceeding things. It's exceeding expectations.
It is.
It's through the roof.
It is.
They're riding that way with us. You know
the
what
end of 2017 is looking good for Don't Do That, Bro.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, man.
National syndication coming next.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? I can hear my wife now. As soon as she gets, I'm like, hey, holler at me with this national syndication. You can't tell me nothing. I'm out. I got a podcast to record. I'm out. You know what I'm saying?
Just throw money at the door.
That's it. I just let it rain. Just put a little salt bay. You know what I'm saying? As I go out the door, you don't make it rain no more. Salt bay with the money, baby. It's just, and I'm gone. It might be some quarters, but the point is, it's going to be some money hitting the floor as
I
leave.
Oh, man. All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, listen, we got America's favorite piece, America's favorite section. It's Who's Your Caddy?
That's right. Let me cue it up.
District.
Seem to me like Dan Duncan always offer to hand you the 9-iron. Always the 9-iron. What you need a caddy for if he always gonna give you the same club, huh?
Hashtag.
Who's your caddy?
Dan, I just want you to say, contrary to what the intro may suggest, I like the way you handle clubs.
Thanks, man.
All right.
I appreciate that.
If no one's ever told you that, you're exquisite at what you do.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I try to carry a full bag.
Hey, man. Hey, if you do nothing else in life, man, carry a full bag and handle some clubs, baby. You're the man, all right?
Oh, man. Everyone needs a shooter.
That's it, bro. You got to have a shooter, man. Come on. Whether it's assistance or if you just shoot yourself, you just got it's just got to happen, man. So today's man in need of life coaching is Rob Gronkowski.
Has he made an appearance on this podcast before?
This might be the first, bro.
Fascinating.
What is definitely fascinating.
He needs all the help.
Yeah. Because did we talk about him chugging beers in the audience during the Super Bowl float?
A passing comment, I think. Maybe okay. The shirtlessness.
Yeah. But, yo, so it's hit and miss with me and this guy, right? Because he's like, bro. He's right, bro, right? You know what I'm saying? If you want to go frat, bro. If he wants to go, like, I don't know, just bro. He's the quintessential.
He's like redneck, didn't graduate from high school, very frat, New England, Boston, Northeast bro.
Right. He fits. He plays on the team he needs to be on. He's a representation of that demographic.
For
right?
sure.
For sure. So in times past, I gave him a pass on things because it was just, you know, it was, you know, dumbassery. You know what I'm saying? Drinking beer with your shirt off on your float after winning the Super Bowl. Why not, bro? Like, you've accomplished things, right?
Right. Showing up on multiple porn stars feeds on their Instagram.
That is a thing too. that
yeah, like, you know, there's people that you look at like George Clooney and his wife, what's her name?
Yeah.
Like, George Clooney has a fine taste in wine.
Yeah, right.
Where
right.
he's like, yeah, I drink the best.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Gronkowski drinks wine spritzers.
Hey, bro, Natty Light all day, bro. That's what he's on, man.
And he likes the taste.
It's an acquired taste.
And has no problem sharing it with the world.
Hey, man, some people like the champagne of beers. Some people just like drinking beer out of a shoe. So
it's true.
He's all right with that,
it's
man.
True.
He's taking body shots for sure. He's definitely taking body shots,
bro. He needs all the help. But how are we helping him today?
There's very few people that I think are beyond help. So he's not there. But if it continues in the trajectory he's in, it's going to be a Rob Gronkowski mess. And it won't be like where are they now type of situation. It is like, bro, like, nobody likes you anymore.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
You went from...
He was the cool kid in the class. And then he's the kid that never, like, actually made it out of his hometown.
That's it, man. You'll be that guy. You're going to be Bud Bundy. You're going to be Al Bundy, matter of fact.
And probably that guy at the gym that, like, just lifts way too heavy weights.
Yeah. Grunts. And makes a spectacle of himself, right?
Yes.
So this week, despite whatever shenanigans he's done before, I took particular offense to Rob Gronkowski's latest shenanigans, right? We're in a game. You guys are... Were they winning? Were they destroying them at this point in time?
Yes,
yeah, you Buffalo Bills.
He'd scored two touchdowns already.
Yeah. So, and it was Buffalo, right? You know, mm-hmm. you got two tugs. You've been in the house two times. There's a situation where a guy's laying on the ground, defenseless. Think he just got an interception. Right?
Yes.
Did he get an interception, right? So you decide while this guy is defenseless on the ground, you're going to hit him with a people's elbow, right? Land and kick and punch him in the back of the head.
And he has a giant brace on.
Right.
A metal brace.
So you take your bionic arm and people champ this guy to sleep to where this dude has a concussion. Rookie dude, ain't said nothing to you, ain't done nothing to you, hasn't bothered you, ain't touched none of your porn women. He's letting you live. And you decide, you know what? This is the time I'm going to take out my frustrations on this poor defenseless guy that has done nothing to me, right? So when I get to my point, I'm equating this guy to the guy who comes to work with an axe to grind and takes his axe and just gets to hacking on innocence, right? That's where I'm going with this. So you know ahead of time where I'm going with this situation. So after this dude does this, the game is over. He decides that his excuse for doing what he did when he's pressed by the media is that he was frustrated by the game and what was happening in that game. And then he goes on to mention he wasn't getting calls, right? And then he goes on to mention it's been happening over the past few weeks. So a grievance that you have with referees in this current game and referees in past games makes you want to put someone to sleep that has nothing to do with what you have going on in life. Is that a fair adaptation of what happened over this weekend?
Yes. Like, it's definitely the scene from The Office where homeboy like punches a wall through or a hole in the wall. He's like, that was an overreaction. That's what happened.
That is exactly what happened.
Lost all self-control and was just like wanted to hurt the first thing that he saw. And apparently, unfortunately for our young rookie, it was him on the ground.
It was him on the ground, bro. So even like this is not the day, leave that for 4th and 10, but you discuss like suspensions. You have Crabtree and whatever snatching chains and fighting on the field. They get suspended, right? This dude put somebody to sleep for no apparent reason outside of him being frustrated. And if this dude does not get suspended...
He did. They announced that he has at least a 1-game suspension.
At least, I can roll with that, man. They need to fine him as well. But I'm like, bro, like, you can't just do that to people. You can't just be upset because you're not getting calls. But the sad part about it is you expect this from Rob Gronkowski, right?
Oh, dude, he is a Neanderthal. Like, bruh. This doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it hurts my fantasy team going into the playoffs. Like, he's hurting my money because I was about to win this championship.
Yeah.
and now I can't play him.
Right.
So I'm angry with Rob Gronkowski for hurting my money and hurting an innocent individual. That's like, bro, just walk away.
Just walk away. But it's not even walk away to do. It wasn't even doing nothing to you, right? So this is what I'm saying. Like, this is like character, right? This is like, hey, you are so in your feelings. Not only are you messing with Dan's money, you're messing with your own money, you're hurting your team, and you knock out this poor defenseless kid that had nothing to do with your frustrations. You're absent of any moral, I don't even want to say moral, it's maybe not a moral thing, but you're just absent of like repercussions, no,
there's,
right?
There's moral implications, yeah, okay, to like what he's saying is like that he had a moment in time where he thought like, this seems like a proper response, yeah, to what's happening,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's absolutely like, and my thing is this, is mm-hmm. like, if he's going to do this in this moment mm-hmm. over petty shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The pettiest.
What is he doing at home and with other people that like actually like frustrate him, yeah, for real reasons?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Apparently, like, Hernandez wasn't the last tight end to go off the deep end.
Bro, I was about to go there. But yeah, bro, you know what I'm saying? And so this will get swept under the rug because he's bro sweetheart, right? He's America's bro sweetheart. Like, oh, he just had a bad day. And then the lame-ass excuse he gives, no apologies, like, for real. Like, first he said, I apologize to number 27, I think, right? And then later, yeah, on, I think he said the guy's name. But I'm like, bro, like, it wasn't like, yo, I shouldn't have done that. That was irresponsible. That was an embarrassment to the organization, to myself, to this not, you know, I think he said, this is not what I represent, or, you know, this is like, that's some canned bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and even if it was canned BS, like, he could have just left it there and, yeah, it would have been like, all right, I don't believe you, but, yeah, at least you said the right thing, yeah, and we're all moving on, yeah, now. And you're going to take your suspension. So, right, on and so forth.
Right. But then you add the element of the referees made you mad, right? So now you're the neighborhood bully. You have a dad that beats you up, so then you go and leave the house and figure out who you can beat up because your dad, mm-hmm, is beating your ass. You know what I'm saying? This, yeah, is Stranger Things, my man with the Camaro or Corvette or whatever he was driving. You know what I'm saying? Like, doesn't
I haven't made it that far in the season yet, so don't blow it for me.
No. In that case, I wasn't going to say anything else.
I'm only three episodes
all in. All right, well, since you can't relate to that story, we'll keep it pushing that.
No, this is teaser free. Yeah. Don't do that, bro.
All right, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, so that is like, if we're doing some psychological evaluation, you're right, bro. Like, when this is real life, like I'm surprised nothing has come out. I guess, again, when you're America's bro, like, you know, you get a pass. Maybe he's not actively doing asinine things in public spheres or, you know, places where he can get caught up on the Twitters and the internets. But I'm sure there's probably a body count somewhere where people can be like, yo, civil lawsuits on the way or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Or maybe he just deals with people that don't tell.
And is it not fascinating that this dude, of all people, hasn't had sexual assault issues come out against
him? Yo, I'm saying,
like,
man.
Like, everyone and their dad is, like, looking over their shoulder, like, yeah, trying to, like, work back through, like, everything they've done in their life. Right. Like, when's it coming for me?
Come on.
Because we are a bunch of assholes, right, who do stupid shit that deserve every, yeah, ounce of one of these allegations, yeah, yeah, if they're true.
Yeah.
But Rob Gronkowski is the one with the clean sheet.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro.
Maybe he does have a life caddy in his corner that's watching his back.
He's got a team, bro. He's got a cleanup crew. He's got Scandal, the Scandal people, man. He's out there, man. Scandal as in the TV show. So it's I just feel like, in relation to how this helps the everyday man, because everybody's not Ron Gronkowski, right? Everybody's not getting millions of dollars to play football, to have fun playing a game, right? So we've already equated him to the guy that gets beat up by his dad and then finds out other people he can beat up, right? We've equated him now I'll go into equating him to the everyday life. So you're a guy who's frustrated with what's going on, whether it's work, whether it's home, whether it's, you know, the dog took a shit in your shoe again this morning, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case is going on, and you, instead of handling and taking care of the pressing issue of what's happening in your life that's making you frustrated, or maybe coming to see a guy like me, trained psychiatrist, as Dan would say, but I'm not a psychiatrist, but, you know, it's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Something in that world.
Yeah, and that's somebody with a P in the front of their name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Smarter than me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we're smart in different ways. Was that fun? Was that good?
That was the worst backhanded compliment I've ever gotten. We're smart in different ways. Carry on. I'm going to choose to exercise my self-control in this moment.
There you go, right? Don't hit me with a mic, bro. That's not okay.
No concussions in,
right,
this episode.
Or at least let me see it coming so I could duck, right? So you have men that aren't regulated, haven't learned self-regulation skills, haven't learned how to deal with the here and now in a way that's beneficial. And what do they do? They go and kick cats. They go and slice tires. They go and hit defenseless players. They go and, you know,
say terrible things to people they care about. I mean, it can, like it doesn't have to be physical. Like, and this is something that, like, too, like, man, I've had a short temper my entire life, and there's been moments that I've had to, like, grow through where it's like I get frustrated, and I may not to, like, want to hurt people physically, but I can hurt people with my words real quick. Yeah. Like, oh, I know your button, and here you go. Now feel terrible for the next 2 days.
Take that.
And it really is just a, like, no one wins. It's a no win scenario. Yeah. And it's taken me a few years, and I'm still not perfect at it, where it's like, how do you take a step back from the scenario and say, okay, like, let's not cause collateral damage.
What
are you actually frustrated about? And let's address that thing that you're actually frustrated about.
Yeah, bro.
And don't just yell and scream and say, like, I don't know why I'm angry, but I'm angry. Cause if that's the case, you can't really be mad at anyone.
Right. And if that's the case, you're six.
Yeah.
Or maybe three.
Exactly.
I have a 2.5-year-old daughter who
someone took your toy.
Right. You know what I'm saying? She wilds out. Even my son who's one can grunt to let you know what's happening, right? So I'm like, yo, if you're a grown man and you have not been able to master these elements that we're talking about, and you find yourself being passive aggressive, you find yourself using words to hurt people, you find yourself shaming or harming others for this because of the simple fact that you don't know what's going on as your excuse, or you know exactly what's going on, but you choose not to handle it in an adult way, you need to seek professional help. That'd be right. I can't be any clearer than that.
For sure.
I just
need someone to help you, like, walk through, like, your thought process. Yeah. And it's like, as a dude, it's not the easiest thing in the world. We are at times, like, 2 inches deep when really, like, the problem is, like, 7 feet deep. And you gotta, like, figure out a way to get down to that point of, like, why is this a trigger? Why is this causing me so much frustration? And we can at least admit in this episode, like, it may hurt to do so, but, like, there are wounds that you need to address, and that typically I see it all the time in friends. It's like, there's something will happen. It's like, that sets you off to this level.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, once you start talking about it for an hour and a half, it's like, oh, it was this thing that happened. And you just, every time this happens for the last 20 years, like, you decide that it's means for erupting.
Yeah.
You need to find some friends, a life caddy, a John to help you figure out what the hell's going on in your life? Because you hurting people.
Yeah. You need somebody to hold your club, bro. that's the bottom line. So I don't know how to make this any clearer to those of you who are listening, but don't be Rob Gronkowski. That's not what you want in your life. All right. Well, this is latest edition of Who's Your Caddy. We're going to take a break, pay some bills. Be right back. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that message from our sponsors. Hey, Rob.
If it was there, apparently iTunes are like the marketing system only, like, it targets specific people. So if you heard an ad, you are important to somebody. And if you didn't, then you should probably click on some other things on Amazon so that they
get
hit
some
you
more
up.
Cookies cracking. I need you to get your cookie game up.
Exactly. So, you're using that private browser way too much.
I'm that guy, bro. Like, I don't, bro. Like, I literally bought this streaming TV, which I'll never do again in life. I had to turn off my microphone. I have to turn off ad things. Like, it's so many things you have to turn off because, and I didn't think about it, when you're allowing a streaming device to come in your home to watch your television, they're going to want to make some money from you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you think this is easy? Oh, you don't have to switch between, you know, HDMI 1 and 2 because it's just a button you push? No. So, side note, we've had conversations about letting Alexis in and all these other people that you don't mind having in your home. Bro, I have to turn off on my television you selling me ads. I don't want that. I want to watch TV. Anyway, so if you're not getting any ads, it's because you're like me and you're a hermit and you don't want the people knowing what you do.
Hey, we live off those ads, baby.
I know. So turn your ads on.
Make sure those the advice that you're given. We are those people, like, don't solve the world's problems because we actually benefit off of them.
I had somebody tell me once, hey, man, I don't need everybody getting a quality education. Who's going to flip my burger at McDonald's? I was like, dang. That's how you feel?
that's the most terrible thing I've ever heard, bro.
Bro.
That's like wishing destitution on people. Like, I don't know if that's a word. Destitution.
It
destitution
sounds good. A word. It works for me,
but,
bro.
But wishing people to have no options in life.
I was like, bro, when they said that, I was like, that is the coldest piece. That's a cold piece, bro.
But I do know someone who literally college education, like, he could grind, and he loves working in fast food. Like, Self has chosen to, like, now I think he has long-term aspirations of, like, owning McDonald's and doing things, but, like, he, like, put himself on the line at McDonald's and was like, I love my job. And I was like, dude, I love that you love that so much that you're just like, I'll own the hell out of that job. Like, cool, man. Like, you rock, bro.
There you go.
Because there's so many fakers out here that just, like, hate what they do every day. They're miserable to be around. They just need to quit their job and do what they love doing. All right, there's my soapbox.
There you go. All right, so listen, turn your ads on. Get some ads. Quit your jobs if you hate them. You know what I mean? It's that time. 2018 is upon us, man. It ain't time for the BS, man. We got to make things happen. All right, so what we're talking about today is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. Season one, we had some tidbits here and there. Season two, we're just going full throttle and just being adults because we got to eat. You know what I'm saying? We're explicit in this thing.
Yep.
We're talking about dating. And this ain't even dating 101. It's not 102. This is like grad level. This is like PhD level game we giving you today.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So traditionally, dating is thought of what? A means to an end of marriage, right? That's, you know, is that...
Post-college.
In an American context, right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'd say if you're in school, I think most people think of dating as like something, like a piece of the pie that should occupy your time so that you ain't lonely.
Yeah, it's American lore, right? I think the idea is like, yo, you're dating, I should take that back. Girlfriend-boyfriend relationship, right? Has been traditionally leading towards I want to marry you.
Exclusive dating,
And it may be not even marriage depending on where you come from. In common law marriage, long-term relationships, but it's just the commitment thereof, and hopefully you're not cheating, right?
Right.
And so dating, I think, in our perspectives, has shifted gears a little bit, right? Because we don't buy into the typical narrative of, hey, commit yourself to this person, and then whatever happens after. I don't even have any more, like, I don't even want to go into any more of, like, what dating has meant, and I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like... we are in an age where like people are trying to redefine dating in a lot of different ways because it hasn't worked and it doesn't work in like the current state of things. Because I think up until now, it's like when you're in like elementary or hopefully not elementary school, but like middle school, high school, a lot of times what I have made the observation, I'd love for you to talk about like why this is, but I feel like most people just try to recreate the relationship that they see in their parents. Okay, that's a future step in life. I want to grow up quickly, so I need to find my person who kind of like who I like. You know, we take very seriously as like, oh, this could be the person I marry, whatever. And I feel like, you know, and that was definitely my story. Is like I dated, you know, like four or five girls through my through my high school time, and I took that very seriously, way too seriously, and thought that like I was at a maturity level where like this could be the one, so on and so forth. And I think really it was like how am I just recreating my parents' relationship?
Yeah, and even for me, I don't even know where I got this idea, whether it's music or movies or television. I always grew up thinking that as soon as I turned 18, I was going to get married, have these kids, live this life, and I don't know what I mean. Maybe it was a little too much. Too much Little House on the Prairie or the old school TV shows I was watching as a kid. You know what I'm saying? I tell people all the time, whenever I went to my grandma's house in East St. Louis in the summer times, I was watching Nick at Night. I don't even know how that was possible because I don't even think she had cable. Maybe she did, but I'm watching like Dick Van Dyke and Dobie Gillis and you know, Beaver, Leave It to Beaver, all of that stuff. And so somewhere in my mind, 18 was this magical number where you get married and you live life. And I'm like, yo, one, I don't live on a farm. Two, I'm not a farmer. Those are only places where you need to be 18 years old and get married and trying to raise children because you need farm hands. Right? All hands on deck. Everybody's milking a cow. Everybody's getting eggs in the morning.
That's right.
Everybody's ringing chickens' necks. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that time doesn't exist anymore except for certain places. And so while I was in high school, I fell in love with all the girls that I thought that I wanted to be with. And it was like, I'm going to marry you. Like, as soon as graduation hits, we're going to do college and all that other stuff. But it was like, yo, that was my end goal for all the girls that I attempted to pursue.
For sure.
In high school, bro. Right?
Dude, I remember being in middle school, like, very much having this thought of, like, the girl that I was, like, quote, unquote, was my girlfriend. I couldn't drive to see her. She lived in another part of town. But I was going to marry this girl.
Yeah, bro.
Like, and it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, backwards thinking.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think it's, there's a like maturity level of like understanding how the world works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, everyone tells you, oh, you don't know what love is. You don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you shrug it off as like, you don't know what love is.
Right,
and,
right.
That, and to some extent, that's typically true.
Yep,
like,
yep.
I see your marriage. I don't want a marriage like that. Like,
no, thanks.
But I think I can figure this out. But yeah, man, I think especially through like all the way through high school and even college to a great extent for the majority of college, I think dating needs to look drastically different.
Yeah. And I'll give you my jaded perspective or why my where my jade happens, right? Because I feel like we got game right now, right?
Yeah.
So what happened with me is once I realized, like, nobody explained to me, like, how heartbreak and disappointment's going to go, right?
Yes.
And so for me, I think I've talked about it time again, but I'll do briefly. The first heartbreak I had was at 15. I'm trying to, like, give this girl the world. Like, I'm... like, there was an arboretum next to me. I'm stealing roses in the morning and taking them to her.
Man.
Bruh, like, I'm hopping fences. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bringing her, like, bears that I actually won in, like carnivals for my mom. Like, I'm stealing her stuff, animals to get to the chick. I'm bringing her candy, da-da-da-da. And then I get a letter that says, you're smothering me. Like, you're doing too much. Fall back. And I was like, the hell? Like, I don't, what do you mean? Like, this is what you're supposed to do when you care about somebody and when you want to show them that you love them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And at that point, I realized, oh, this feeling that I feel right now, the foolery that has come over me, like, I feel like the dumbest of asses right now. This is not going to happen again, right?
Yeah, sure.
So then I go on a one-man mission to make sure that my feelings aren't involved in any of this thing. And then the transition happens. We're like, oh, okay. Well, I need to be about that thing, as Lauryn Hill would say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just created a move in me. If somebody had told me, like, hey, this is what you're trying to pursue and you think this is going to be forever at 15 years old, it's not, man.
Sure.
So heartbreak's going to come. Disappointment's going to happen. And so after that, it was just a matter of, like, all right, what can I get? You know what I'm saying? How will this become just about me and my gratification or whatever the case may be? Mixed in still with the splash of, I want to marry you, because it was still that.
Well, I think that's the story of a lot of guys where it's, you have these like very like rose colored glasses towards dating, and you're like, oh, like you watch the movies, and you're like, I'm gonna be this Prince Charming for somebody, and you play into that, and then you get your heart broke, and then I would say a majority of guys then go on like a lifelong kind of like quest of, I'm never emotionally going to put myself out there like that again, and you see guys married that still struggle to emotionally connect because they are so afraid that they are gonna get worked.
Yeah. And I'm a marriage and family therapist, and not until like year 5, this is 6 years for me, so maybe this year, last year somewhere, I decided like, oh, I need to let my wife in, because I've been too aloof with my emotions and with my feelings and with my heart, because I didn't want her to occupy that space, like, because it's just easier not to. Although I do this for a living, and I know that there's certain levels of disconnect that happens when you do that, but I just like, man, I'm not at the point where I want to do that, right? And that's dangerous. That's even as somebody that knows that this is a problem, right?
Absolutely.
So imagine somebody that has no idea, right? So getting to just one more little tidbit of kind of what led me to this conversation we're having now, I realized that the problem that I had in high school, not so much in college, more so high school, I was drawn to the girls that weren't trying to make good decisions about the guys they dated. Does that make sense? And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm the dude that's trying to do right by the girls. I'm taking you to the prom. I'm doing this. Your mom says bring you home by midnight. You'll be home by 11:58. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did all of that stuff. Prom night, dude. My date, my senior year prom date, we went to an after party, and she jumps in the bed with this dude and lays next to him and start having a conversation. And I'm just like, I mean, it was at a hotel and stuff, and I guess there's limited seating, but like, I'm just like, I'm trying to put a ring on it. And then you just, you know what I'm saying? So light bulbs started to go off. And once I realized, like, maybe it was just the girls that I was attracted to or trying to date or whatever, like, I'm trying to make them a housewife, and they're not trying to be that.
Sure.
And I didn't know, again, nobody gave me that buffer talk of, hey, bro, some women just have a different trajectory of life, and they have a difference of opinion of where it comes to mean to be kept.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You can't keep somebody that don't want to be kept. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that going into dating in college, had I had the information I have now, I still had some of those elements. But when I realized girls didn't care, like when I got a wider pool of people with different experiences, you know what I'm saying? And my wife tried to get me, oh, you dated a bunch of hoes in college. No, it wasn't about dating a bunch of hoes in college. It was about the idea that some of these women were free and knew what they wanted and knew what they liked and knew what felt good, and they weren't shy or coy about it. And I happened to run into a couple of them, and it's like, oh, shoot, like, oh, we don't have to have commitments. Oh, we don't have to have titles. Oh, we don't have to say we're going to marry each other. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so that added to the confusing and confounding factors that led to me dating terribly in college as well, right?
Sure.
And even post-college. And so I think what we're getting at now is like, all right, what's the conversation? What is it about? What is dating? What is the purpose? Should it just be for fun? Should it be for shits and giggles? Should it be for commitment? And I think all of that's going to depend on where you are in life,
yep,
how old you are, what you have going for you, right? And then, I guess, personal point of view on things.
What I think, like, no one told me. So if you mm-hmm. are, I don't know if we have any high school, maybe we do.
Maybe.
High school listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was in high school, what I wish someone had told me was like, look, there is a 99.9% chance that you are never going to see any of these people again. And this is coming from someone who married the girl he started dating my last semester in high school.
Yeah.
So I'm still telling you that there's probably not a chance that it works out. So, but I wish someone had told me, it was like, look, like the exclusivity in dating, this is something that I'm going to give you credit, 'cause you've said it multiple times on this podcast before, and I'm just kind of co-signing it as part of my experience. You don't have to date exclusively. In fact, mm-hmm. you probably will do better and be more attractive to girls in high school when you're like, look, I'm not looking for anything exclusive. If you don't like me, you can go hang with the next dude.
Yeah.
And if you like me, then like I like to like go grab a meal on mm-hmm. like on Thursday night, yeah, Friday night, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hang. And if you can kind of say, look, I'm into this to like learn about you, I'm into this to learn about me, I'm into this to like have some fun times with probably other friends in the mm-hmm. process of going together and like and hanging out. And I think me as a guy was so nervous about losing someone. Mm-hmm. Because they like may wake up one day and not like me, so I needed something to tie them to me.
Yep.
I needed to be in this exclusive relationship where it was clear, and I wasn't okay in that gray area where I was like, yeah, she probably will. Like, dudes in high school most likely wake up one day and be like, I don't feel the same way anymore about this dude. And I think you need to be cool with that and be like, sweet, like, and be comfortable enough in who you are to be like, yeah, she just, like, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I think protecting yourself with how deeply and how intimately you get, I think you need to draw a line in the sand and be like, I'm about this to like learn about you. Mm-hmm. I'm not about this to like wife you.
Right. Yeah.
And like intimately get to that place where I know you so deeply that it feels like we are in this marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think that's where when you get to that place in high school, like there's nothing you can, there's no further place you can mm-hmm. go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely believe that like there is no like person in this world for people.
Right. Yeah.
So I genuinely believe, like, take that relationship in high school, like, and put it, like, post-college.
Yeah.
There's these two people who click, have fun, are both, like, clear about their trajectories in life. That relationship very well could have worked mm-hmm. for me after after college.
Mm-hmm.
But in high school, like, there's only so deep you can go, and then once you get to that place, you've bonded at this deep level, and inevitably it will break because life will take you different directions.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I feel like have fun in high school. This is high school for me. It's like mm-hmm. have fun, learn about yourself, and protect yourself and protect them in a sense of like how intimately you get.
Yeah.
Whether that be physical or emotional,
mm-hmm.
just be about like, hey, this is the line that I'm going to draw, because like going any further only is going to lead to heartbreak most likely.
Yeah. And stay away from lame game. What lame game is, the guy that uses love in high school, you know, I love you and this and that, because you're just trying to get the draws. Like, your goal is to get the draws so you pull on these heartstrings so that she's emotionally invested in you so that you can get the 90. And like, mm-hmm. that's weak, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't know if we get that from dad. I don't know where we get that from. But I think once guys realize there are certain things that they have to say and do in order to, at that level, because that's all you have in high school, is I can just give you love and maybe that'll, you know, kick off some Disney princess, you know, trappings in your heart or whatever. But like, that's whack, man. You know?
It is whack, bro. And like, two, the other thing I wish someone told me is, mm-hmm. like, these relationships, like, that take such a toll and energy and mm-hmm. time are detracting from so many things that are actually, like, you're actually investing in yourself, whether that be sports or, like, or your studies or figuring out what you want to do with your life. Like, spend time on those things.
Yeah.
And when I was doing well, like, a girl kind of fit into that time frame and, like, kind of, like, I would do it, like, go on dates occasionally.
Yeah.
And when I was lame and didn't have direction, it was like, I got a lot of time on my hands. Yeah. I cared a lot about those things because I needed like something to fill up my time, fill up my, like, that commitment.
Yeah.
And I think I would have done better to focus more on what I wanted to do with my life that was actually going to benefit me.
That's perfect. And that's model for life after that, right? You continue to need to have those principles. And that's what happened with Lame Game, is that then you get in the habit of lying, and then you're the 30-year-old dude that's still lying to women, right? Whether it's using the love word or just whatever lie that you have to create so that they get emotionally involved, so that, like you mentioned, they don't go somewhere else because you're selfish and you're a jackass and you just want to have that trophy piece so that nobody else, so you can put it on your glass, put it on your, you know what I'm saying, on your trophy mantle, and then take, you know, as necessary, break glass when needed, you know what I'm saying? And so that, make sure nobody else has access to that trophy. Don't be that guy. If you got the game, she'll stick around. And if you don't got the game, she'll go wherever she needs to be.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't be selfish. And side note, in light of the allegations that are circling the internets and the world right now, I mentioned that story about my date in high school and the prom, not to disparage her because she's cool people, you know what I'm saying? But just to say that I'm trying to wife a chick and I think we're going to be together forever, and she had different ideas of what the prom meant.
Exactly. She was having fun that night.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I took her home. We had a great time. Everything was good. Almost died on the way back because I fell asleep on the road. But, you know, I got her home in time.
It was an adventure.
Yeah, I was apparently trying to respect her mom's wishes. You know what I'm saying?
Go.
So
there you go.
It's all good. So just to clear that up. So, yeah. So once you're in that, you know, high school phase, we got the game for that. So now you're moving towards transition of like, all right, college, you know, fresh in the thing, whether you know, freshman year, super senior year, whatever that looks like. College, I think, almost has similar rules to high school, right? Man, you got things you need to be doing. Figuring out what you want to do with your life. You might change your major 3 or 4 times. You might decide this job work, that job work. Dating in that situation is the same thing. You're not dating. You may find your wife in a college setting, right? You may find a person you want to be with for the rest of your life. But like Dan said, it's about finding the type of person that you want to be with for the rest of your life, right? That's what dating is in college. Like, yo, you don't have to be exclusive, and you don't even have to call it dates. You can just kick it with people. It could be a study situation. It could be, you know what I'm saying, we're doing some experiments together. You know, whatever it is that you're doing. You know, I was in journalism, so I did a lot of journalistic endeavors in college, whether it was investigative reporting, whether it was trying to win awards. So we're doing specific stories that are geared towards winning awards. And I had a lot of female cohorts that I did that stuff with. You know what I'm saying? And it helped me grow professionally. It helped me find a voice. And it made for good times, because sometimes you don't want to kick it with dudes all the time, especially when you're doing stuff that's going to take a long time. You know, hey.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And so you can do things and explore things and be intentional about getting to know women in that time, but again, without it having to be this one-on-one exclusive thing that's going to take you away from priorities during that time.
I agree to an extent.
Cool.
And then I think junior, senior year, you need to find your wife.
Okay. All right.
Like,
all right.
You are never going to be in a more like fertile ground.
The pool is deep and wide.
Exactly. Of people who clearly have, if you were at a good academic institution, like, an IQ level that can match you.
Because
if you get married and you find out your wife is dumb, things are going to suck for you for the next 30 years.
Art of the upgrade.
Like, bro, either I have some friends that they married, and this counted for dudes at Georgia, a hard school to get into. Yeah. And I don't know what daddy paid who to get into the school, but they married very attractive women based off of that sole thing, because it was a trophy situation.
Yeah.
And they are kicking themselves because they're like, oh, I can't talk to my wife. Yep. Like, she, the priorities that she had then are still very much the priorities she has now. So that's a side note.
Yep.
Find the girl who is like the ugly duckling coming out of high school.
Come
and
on.
You probably have a winner.
Come on. Yep. Cause it's,
I'll
it's,
just leave
yes.
that the whole, we've talked about this whole, like finding the ugly duckling before, because that is, you're going to win, at life there. But yeah, getting back to the point, junior, senior year of college, like, I think hopefully at this point in time, like, you have found out, like, oh, this type of girl, athletic, not athletic, like is into, you know, games, not into, like, whatever is, like, whatever is your thing, and you find attractive in these people, you then, I think, can start to narrow down the field of, like, oh, I specifically like this person, and start to, like, again, kind of walk down that road of getting to know that person, caring for that person. And I think, too, then you can kind of take it to that next level where it's like, oh, what are the things that I need to learn about myself when it comes to being in committed relationships where this person is depending upon me and is requiring something of me, where it's not just like this honeymoon phase of always dating. Because there is a honeymoon phase of just habitually dating different people so that you have the, like, get-to-know-you conversation. the like fun stay up till 2 a.m. like, oh, I've connected with another human on a fun level, this is cool, like, okay, let me do this all the time. And mm-hmm. And I had some friends that just could never get out of that rhythm of yeah. wanting to kind of have that fun, those fun moments, and as soon as it didn't get fun, they were like, all right, I'm
yeah.
bouncing.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine for a certain season of time, but yeah. then I think as you get serious and later in college, you like, look, you don't want to be on dating apps post college. Like, let's just be real about yep. this. Like,
yeah.
and you don't. And so while you're in college, that I would say, my opinion would mm-hmm. be, find your wife, junior, senior year of college.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of begin to build that life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's, I'm not the guy that's like, get married before college, mm-hmm. Before you graduate. Like, you should let life make sure that you guys are both going the same direction. Thankfully, like, me and my wife, we started dating my freshman year of college, and we waited, we broke up right before we both graduated, because there was very much like, one, some things we needed to work through, but two, is life taking us in the same direction? For me, there was a moment of, I'm probably not going to be in Atlanta and I'm going to be out west. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm going to be in Atlanta. I have my dream job. This mm-hmm. is where I'm going to be. I'm like, okay, cool. Life's not going the same direction. And what seemed like we were going to kind of go different directions in life ended up back in the same place. And there was a huge, like, we kind of came back together and said, oh, life does have us going mm-hmm. the same direction. And I think that's one thing that people don't like talking about, because it's not romantic. Mm-hmm. It's not like this, like, star-crossed lovers where everything will work out. Like, mm-hmm. if your dreams do not include one another heading in the same direction, there's going to be a lot of tension there.
Yeah. Hey man, I didn't get married, so I was 31. So you already know what I'm talking about. I'm like, hey man, if you know what you know in college, getting out of college, handle your business. Me personally, shit, boy, I had some things I had to take care of. You know sure. what I'm saying? So I was buying motorcycles and houses and had just things that I thought that were gonna give me what I wanted sure. in life. You know what I'm sure. saying? But the real issue for me was I didn't know how to properly engage in the conversation we're having right now. So for me, even after making a proclamation and declaration that I was going to be a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ, I still didn't know how to date well.
Sure.
And so it was just a matter of continuing to do what I was doing before I made this proclamation, not seeing her as being made in the image of God and treating her the way that I should and da-da-da-da-da. And females, even when I wasn't trying, if they approached me about a situation, I was like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? You want to be in something. I don't know what it was sure. that we're in, right? So not until I met my wife was I ever in a position, I didn't meet her till I was 30, to even consider seriously, before I was with sure. her. I was in a relationship for years off and on with somebody, and I was like, I didn't have intentions of marrying her. Like, I didn't. If I look back on it, like, if I was going to do that, I would have done that. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Every opportunity.
You know what I'm saying? So technically, no, that I clearly had no intentions, right? Sure. And so I think that we've talked about it before, season one. I mean, dudes know, you know what I'm saying? So when women were listening, oh, how do we... Hey, if he hasn't chose up, you're not who he's choosing. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take very long. And this is not just about he just wants to have sex because he's a Christian and his loins are burning. It's like, yo, dudes know. And they'll put mm-hmm. in bids when they know, right?
Yep.
And so if you're that guy and you're, college and you know what you know and she's going to be the one and y'all are having these conversations and you know things are going in the directions that you want them to go in, I think you go ahead and make the plunge. And it's not necessarily saying that you got to even get married right at that time.
No.
Right? But lock her down, I guess. Yeah. Lock her up.
I think too, like, go... As you get to that point in life, like dating exclusively, mm-hmm. there's so many dudes. So I guess we're now transitioning like to mm-hmm. the post-college part mm-hmm. of the conversation. We probably should go to commercial. So let me uh-huh. figure out how to say this.
When we come back.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So no, I think even as we get into the post-college conversation that we're kind of getting into now, there's some really good points about dating exclusively and going through some things, but let's talk about that in 2 seconds right after we come back. Okay, so I do think that the part of the conversation that as we kind of get into the more serious level here, like, I see way too many dudes. So now that we're kind of talking about adult dating, so you find a girl, you dig her, you have fun together, you guys like experience some fun things together, like this starts to be someone you bring around your friends. You start to say like, oh, like this is serious. You start to sacrifice for one another, go on trips, whatever, experience life. If you have not gone through something hard, I would not consider your relationship at a level mm-hmm. where you can actually assess is this person the person I want to spend mm-hmm. the rest of my life with? Mm-hmm. Because I think the prerequisite for saying that statement, I love this person, is saying I love you. To me, the absolute kind of depth is one, I'm going to go, like, I will go through hell for this person and expect nothing in return. Mm-hmm. And two, I know that, like, I'd rather fight for this person in whatever way that manifests itself, even if it kills me. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather fight with this person than be with anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I think when you hit that level, it's like, okay, cool. And knowing how each other's fights and knowing how each other, like, works through things, that will make or break a serious, long-term serious mm-hmm. relationship. And if you can make it through those things, cool. And if not, it's most likely going to end, whether that be breaking up mm-hmm. or divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm again, I don't have any problems admitting my jadedness or whatever. And I'm to the point where if you fight too much, you might want to wrap it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. People get so emotionally involved, like, and all your dating and engagement is just full of turmoil. And it's like, but we're going to fight for it. I'm like, yo, man, I think you might need to wrap this one up. Throwing that towel, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, people, I remember when I was getting married, bro, people were like, are you ready for how difficult this is going to be? Mm-hmm. Marriage is the easiest thing I've ever done.
Must be nice.
Partially because like, we understood what we were like for we dated for 5 years.
Okay. I got you.
So, right, and we dated through like a lot of growing pains, like starting freshman year of college all the way through college. And so we were different people and grew into different people, hopefully better people, as time went on. Mm-hmm. And by the time we got married, like, we knew what we were getting ourselves mm-hmm. into. Mm-hmm. We had beat the hell out of each other mm-hmm. in some ways. Good. and broke each other's hearts in some ways and still decided, like, no, this is the person I want to, despite the hurt and the pain that we've gone through. I still can't imagine doing life without you. And it wasn't that we fought a lot. Mm-hmm. We fought a lot, but like, we knew what we were getting ourselves into. And I to your point, though, mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be that difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, if you're like, we have to make this work, mm-hmm. like, if there's not a ring on it yet, you don't have to make anything work.
Not at all.
Once you put a ring on it, I would argue on your behalf, fight as long as you can to make it work. Because the breaking of that bond is something I don't know if you can ever really recover from, mm-hmm. Not having experienced it myself. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that Dan's in-laws don't come looking for him. When they said beat the hell out of each other, he meant figuratively in the sense of they had fights and arguments.
Oh, they know.
And not physical.
My in-laws know.
Okay, all right. They, so
no one's going to accuse me of physical abuse.
All right, cool.
Stupidity, perhaps, but.
Again, I'm on my Harvey Weinstein, right? I'm just making sure. I'm just covering tracks, baby.
I appreciate that.
I'm writing letters.
I'm not trying to have any accusations against
me. I'm getting notaries. Remember that time he said on that podcast? Makes sense. She didn't really just fall into a doorknob. But anyway, so I think that, like, it's you mentioned a good point, because I'm definitely, I won't say cynical, I won't say realist. I'll just say, like, I have my perspective on marriage, because my marriage was terrible the first year and a half. Like, if I wasn't a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ, notice that's my new way of saying Christian, because I'm not wearing that moniker these days. It's a very loose term that people use, and I have my issues, right? So I'm a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ, and so with that, if it had not been for that, I guarantee you I would have punted my marriage the first year and a half. Like, the first year and a half was the worst time of my life, of my marriage. And again, it goes to the idea of, like, oh, we didn't date for 5 years, right? We dated for 6 months before I proposed to her, and then 6 months later we were married. So within a year and some change, I mean, I was pursuing her unbeknownst to her for several months before I made it clear what my intentions were. And then we, you know, became a couple in December. And then we're married by the next December. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then part of it too is a 7-year age gap. Part of it too is she's a genius and you can't tell her nothing, right? So she's smarter than me on every end, right? So the conflict between that, and then also her idea of what it meant for a man to be a leader, she felt like I wasn't that. So then there was resistance on that end. And I'm like, that may be another podcast in itself, but just thinking through like women, if you're listening and don't do that, bro, thank you. Again, if you're offended by what we do, you know, maybe not the podcast for you, but I appreciate you listening. But like, you have to understand, man, people get on this lead me, but they don't want to be led. Like, they have an idea of what it means to be led, and then they expect the guy to do that. Like, no, I'm leading the way I best see fit. I'm the coach. If that's what you want me to do, right? Lead me. I'm the coach, and I'm trying to utilize things to the advantage of the family. Again, he may not be leading well, so that may be a conversation
for sure
that guys need to have with other guys and get some game or whatever. But like, dudes, if you're getting resistance from your wives because she's saying you're not leading well, hear what she's saying and make adjustments. But don't fall into the trap of, I'm gonna just do what you say do because that's what's easiest in my house.
Right. Leading doesn't mean give me the play and then right. and then I'll tell it back to you and then I got the right answer.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
We have to have like that hard conversation sometimes where she's like, I want you to make this decision.
Yeah.
Like I then ask my question of, do you already have a conclusion in your mind
right.
before I make this decision? Because if so, I'd like to take that into account into like what I'm thinking and why you think this is the right way to go in this decision process that you are handing over to me. But if that's the case as well, like check yourself because like you really don't want me to leave. You want me just to like clarify for you like the right answer.
Right. That was free game, ladies and gentlemen. All right. On the side note. So the idea then is in a situation, I'm trying to remember the stream of thought. That struck me. Oh, so our marriage being terrible. So the thing is we dated. We didn't have a lot of that. You know, we didn't live with each other. We didn't do, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of stuff was on the fly. And my way of dealing with shenanigans was just to be gone. You know what I'm saying? And not, you know, again, I do this for a living. You know what I'm saying? But at the time, I was like, yo, this isn't something worth doing, you know? And so I think that, yes, if dating for 5 years is what you have to do to be mature enough to handle marriage life, that's what you need to do, right? You know, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. I'm not saying that that's the perfect time frame or whatever. I know there's two short time frames and there's two long time frames, right? But I think that if you're pursuing your goals and your dreams and you decide you want to be in a monogamous relationship, you can be in a monogamous relationship for 5 years and achieve and dream and do what you got to do and don't hold each other back, right? And it doesn't have to be like only what my wishes are and you need to come follow me. Like, no, you both can pursue what you can. Because in that time, y'all pursue what you need to pursue, right?
Yeah. There was no promise of us ending in the same place in life. And in fact, we can get into this another podcast, but like I very much wanted to like break the relationship off for various reasons right when we graduated, because I wasn't sure that this is what I wanted to do. I had to work through some personal things of like of putting my heart into things. And so I think though, like the last step for me is like, yes, like post college, because I generally don't think you should get married during college. There's just too many life changes that happen.
Yeah.
You are still deciding the trajectory of your life. And again, you want someone to come alongside you in what you're doing mutually. That doesn't mean the guy or the girl's dream is the like the precedent and the dream that's being chased, but you want to see those dreams come together and be mutually like beneficial. But once you do decide, like I think dudes fail in this world because one, they tend to two ends of the spectrum. They get married and they start dating their dudes all over again, where it's like, okay, now I'm married. I'm going to put all my energy into like the guys in my life again, and I'm going to go to that end of the spectrum. Or you disappear from your dudes and you like date your wife. And I think that's an equally good thing. But I think in the extremes, like there's just too many dudes out here, one, living on an island with their wife, like all of a sudden trying to make some shit up that they don't really know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
And or there's dudes out here who like aren't actually dating their wives. And I think you have to find that constant thing even after you get married where you're still dating your wife, but you're still in community. And I've seen so many marriages fail primarily or just even struggle. They don't need to fail. They can just be
constantly miserable,
life sucking for these people because making poor decisions that make their life suck even more based off of this like prerequisite of like being on two ends of those spectrums.
And I think the last thing for me is I think that, you know, again, whether you ascribe to the married finder in college or post college or whatever, you know, whatever you do, again, the point of us having this conversation about dating is remembering like it's not always exclusive. It's not always to the end of being married. It's about finding who you are, finding out what you like, experimenting, exploring, traveling together, you know, whatever you
having
need to
fun,
do,
like,
having fun.
Having shared, again, I think we, because of our predisposition to our faith, would say like we're taking like a level of physical intimacy off the table. But outside of that, man, like I'm thankful. Like the relationships I had prior to my marriage for a great part. Like, I'm thankful I had them because I do know myself at a deep level. And I do know that, like, people connecting on a human level is a great thing. And then how to do that, like, that's a skill that you acquire. And I'm thankful for all the relationships I had prior to my marriage. They showed me who I was, how to have fun. And I don't, like, I feel like in a lot of ways it's shown to me, like, don't take life so seriously. And don't take your relationship so seriously until, in fact, they need to be taken seriously.
Don't let her go. Don't let the good ones go, right?
True, bro.
The good one, I mean. You know what I'm saying? So you build that experience. And I think for me, taking any faith aside, whether you're Arab, if you're Muslim, if you're Christian, if you're whatever faith that you may ascribe to that says no sex before marriage or whatever, I think the idea is like, yo, outside of that, sex complicates stuff. So my thing in the dating process and figuring out how things are, stay dry, stay vertical. Because the end of the day is, if you're going through things and you're struggling with things, red flags become green when you start having sex.
It's true.
And those red, those flags are still red, bro. They become green in your eyes, right? You get a different tint on your glasses. But, bro, once you start knocking stuff down, bro, you don't think straight. You don't make it, you're not making rational decisions. And all you're trying to figure out, like, how do I continue to get this 90? You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So I'm like, hey, whatever you ascribe to, whatever you want to make it about morals or not morals, like, bro, like, you as a man are not going to make good decisions in what you need to do in your relationship if you're chasing that ghost.
Yeah.
If you're trying to get that thing, man, it's just, it doesn't help. You know what I'm saying? And your marriage and the foundation of your even dating and whatever you're trying to be shouldn't be based on, I need to keep getting this. Like, this is that good, and I need this in my life. Because she's going to do stuff, and you're going to be like, oh, it's okay. And then you get married. Oh, I hate this. Oh, well, she was doing that when y'all were dating. But because you was getting the goodies, you was looking past that stuff.
For sure. Yeah, and I think, too, the like, green flags should, like, no, again, no one, everyone wants to pretend that Cinderella's real. Like, that shit is a fake fairy tale that, like, we've, like, one, your girl's been sold and buys into.
Right.
And two, I think in some subconscious ways, we buy into as well. So no one wants to have the, like, the conversation of, like, okay, things are serious. All the boxes are checked. I love spending time with you. But here's the plan for my life. This is, like, these are the things that I want to pursue. These are, like, my dreams. And I would like for you to come alongside me in pursuing those things. And I hope that you're, like, now, what are your dreams? What are your aspirations? How can I come alongside you in those things? And if those two, like, paths converge, then amen. Let's go. Like, you're going to, like be able to encourage one another, be each other's biggest fans, push each other further, and compliment one another. But I've seen a lot of my friends struggle because, like, they don't have that conversation. They want it to be like this romantic version of, like, just two people coming together without that forethought and that planning of, like, does this fit not now, but 20 years from now, 30 years from now, like, here's how my parents work. Here's how my parents work. Like, does this fit? Because you are going to function like your parents function, good and bad. And so, I feel like people enter into, and thankfully we had 5 years where we ran out of shit to talk about. So we talked about stuff on this level. But people need to have these conversations that are not fun, that aren't romantic, but I think can pay huge dividends to allowing that to occur. If you're just honest with one another about how you approach things, where you want to end up in 20 years. And it's not, I just love you, so I'll go wherever you go. Like, that shit fades after 12 months. It's like, no, like, okay, how are we going to build a life together and not having that conversation and not taking the other person into account? It's not just your dream. You have to understand, like, is my dream starting to fuse with your dream? I'm not just asking you to come alongside me, but, like, how does this work as we work together? People have to have that conversation.
They do, man. I think this is a great conversation. You got to remember at the end of the day what you're signing up for. And if you're ascribing to marriage, if that's what your long-term goal is, you want to do it right. You want to set yourself up for success, not for failure.
Don't rush into it. I mean, I think that's probably what we're saying from the very beginning is, like, I know high schooler, like, you think, like, life is, is you on the precipice of, like, of adulthood and you are rushing to that point. Don't rush. It really, like, I remember I thought prom was, like, gonna be the, like, end all be all. And I look back on it, I'm like, man, that day is, like, the most junior day of my life. The, like, of least consequence. And I think in every stage, we kind of rush through it, and it's like rush to the next thing. And I'm thankful that I didn't have a choice. Like, marriage wasn't an option as far as like the family I came from while I was in college. And so I was forced to kind of be in this like holding pattern where I dated Allison and I dated other girls, and it forced me to take it less seriously because there wasn't an option to continue on. And I would say that to everybody is like, allow time to be your best friend, because if it's not going to work out, let it not work. Like, I think that's the other thing, is don't force it to work. Kind of like what you said.
Yeah. Listen, fellas, I mean, just hit rewind. I mean, I'm not going to repeat everything we just repeated, man. This was life-changing information that you need.
And stuff we all experienced, like we experienced and have watched friends of ours experience that, you know, some are winning.
Yeah.
And some dudes are seriously losing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
not because they're divorced.
Right.
But because like they hate their life.
Yeah.
And spend half of it at work because they just can't face their decisions.
Yeah. And so again, like we just trying to help you ride the wave, man. It's cowabunga season and y'all out here cupcaking. Is winter times upon us. Y'all want to be warm. You want to do all these things. So you're making false promises. You getting ready.
Buying rings.
You know what I mean? Trying to get that perfect summer wedding that nobody likes.
I hope that we stopped an engagement, honestly, and someone listening to this.
Yeah.
I hope someone's like, I mean, I'm graduating next year. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like the like next step. Like, me and Allison literally have friends in town right now who they are on the verge of getting a divorce. And because they just thought that marriage was the next logical step.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was like, and they didn't date anybody else. Yep. Like, they were each other's first boyfriend and girlfriend. Yep. They dated through college. And then all of a sudden, they're waking up like, I don't know if I love this person.
Yeah.
I didn't know how we never went through anything hard. And now that we have, like, each of us pushes in different directions and we don't know how to communicate. And it's like, man, like, I hope that there's somebody out there who's the pre-gone conclusion of, I'm just need to buy a ring because this is the next step. And this is what my parents did. And that's you're about to ruin your life, somebody.
Yeah. I think Master of None, Season 1, Episode 1, Plan B. Is a great reminder of, I'll let you all watch it and you can respond on the internets, Twitters and Facebooks and all that. But I think that's, I mean, when you don't date right, man, your life just takes twists and turns that it shouldn't take. And all we just want to do is help you guys understand that it's more, dating is more than sex. Dating is more than getting over on people and getting free gifts and, you know, breaking up before Valentine's Day and getting back with them so you ain't got to buy gifts. You know, it's you know, those are fun things that guys who didn't think that it's cute, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? Making false promises, lying, just getting a nanny, just taking cookies. Like, bro, like that, those things will not go undealt with. You may think you're getting away with it, but life will show you that you didn't get away with any of that stuff. Right. So that's, and I'm not talking just on some karma stuff. I'm just like in real life, bro, like that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? And I don't wish anybody's daughter to have issues because their daddy was a jackass, but let's eliminate that situation now. You know what I'm saying? And if you already, like Dan is saying, is in a situation where you're like, oh, I'm about to put this ring on it, take it back, let it sit for a little bit, marinate, have this conversation with other people, play this podcast back, have some discussions with some older guys in your life. And if you don't have any older guys in your life that can give you some solid game, you need to reevaluate your tribe.
Yeah, run that engagement, run that like dating process to the point where like my mom basically gave my dad the ultimatum: like, we are getting engaged, or I'm getting on a plane leaving your ass.
That's it.
And like they had an incredible marriage, but they dated a long time, and I think you'll know when it's like, okay, I really want to do this. Yeah. Do not rush into that moment.
That's it. And
the hard part, the other flip side of it is this, dude. Like, if you were married and you decided to put a ring on it and you're married, you better fight your ass off for your, like, you were hearing me say, like it does, like, divorce, like, again, taking religion off the table, divorce is expensive.
Yep.
It doesn't fix anything because you're carrying the same shit into the next relationship that you probably have. And outside of, you know, abuse, abandonment, and like someone just flat out just like ruining you by cheating on you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, I understand. Yeah. Those are tough things.
Yeah.
Those should be dealt with. Yeah. And divorce is probably one of the remedies for them. Yeah. outside of those things, just because like she ruined my life, she's spending my money, and like
that's on you, bro. She was spending money when y'all was dating.
Yep.
Before and you got married,
she was spending your daddy's money, and it didn't hurt you,
right?
And,
right.
And you thought it was fun because daddy paid for your stuff too, and now it's like daddy cut off the credit cards, and it's like you expected life to look the same.
Nope. Played yourself, man.
Yeah, don't play yourself.
As DJ Khaled says, don't ever play yourself, man. So, I mean, this is Don't Do That, Bro. It's been another great episode. I hope you guys take this stuff to heart. You know, we tell jokes, but this ain't funny.
For real, bro.
This ain't funny, man. Like,
people's lives out here ruining people's lives.
Yeah, man.
Just because, one, they put the rose-colored glasses on.
Yep.
Or two, they just honestly didn't take the time to, like, they rushed into something, and they didn't take the time to be like, is this really what I want? Or is this just, like, the next logical, quote-unquote, step?
Yeah. Date, have fun, experience the world, experience people. Keep your pants up, brothers. I'm just trying to tell you, bro. Just you want to think clearly and logically. And when you get to start to when you get to ejaculation doesn't help you think clearly, sir.
It doesn't. I could talk about this for hours,
right,
bro.
Right,
just because like if you were about to make a decision, I think so. I went on a 2-month road trip before I decided to like commit.
Mm-hmm.
Like. To Allison and like, oh, we are going to like work towards engagement. Like I was like, I got to get out of here and travel and be in different circumstances, meet different people before I can like come. Like you, bro, you may just need to go travel somewhere and just like take some time to really think and be in a different location where you're not just like, oh, this is what life is in this town, in this small town.
Yep.
This is just what life is.
Go see something else, man. That's the one thing I do appreciate is the Amish. I think when kids are 14, they give me the opportunity to go see the world.
Yep.
A lot of them end up doing drugs and getting drunk and high and having babies. But
they're like, I got to go back.
But at least they give them the opportunity to be like, hey, man, we want you to do this, but go experience the world. Go get your life. You know what I'm saying? And so if you come back, cool. If you don't, well, you know, good luck to you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it is about this. Before you put that permanent thing, before you put that ring on it, go if you need to go and get out of your environment, clear your head, you know, give space, do what that you got to do. And once you realize I can't live without you, because I clearly see that I can't live without you and you're an upgrade and you make my life better and you're the person that's going to be the bonus to my situation, not all my situation. That's another fail. Don't make her your world. Your world needs to consist of good friends, wise, you know, counsel, work, energy, basketball, video games, whatever needs to happen that's helpful and productive.
Yep.
She can't be your world, bro. That's
for sure.
Nah, that's not a win. We'll definitely need to talk about that. For sure.
There's a whole other podcast right there.
Yep.
Good stuff.
All right, man. Well, I'm John Parker. You can find me and harass me on Instagram, Twitter, CJohnRoar, SEEJONROAR.
Yeah, you can find me at Dan Dunk on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation.
Because
now I'm gaming pretty hard on the new Call of Duty.
Hey, man, you can find me there too, CJohnRoar. I only play 2 or 3 games, but I'm pretty committed to those. So if you like those games I play, it'll show you what I play.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, listen, we're trying to help you guys ride that wave. Get wet when you need to. You know what I'm saying? Stay dry when you need to. Stay on that board. Surf this thing out, man. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Flip Mode Squad, Jim Carrey collabo. Now, watch.
Hallelujah, kids, hear this. Come on, while I lace it and try to prepare this for y'all. Oh, well, I got a story to tell about a dude I met once miserable as hell and how grouchy he was.